Yo, 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 welcome to Crate 808, and today we are going to summarise our three album run series. We've had some incredible guests on, people I've wanted to go out there and just talk to about hip-hop three album runs in the 90s. The cherry on top of that list for me was always going to be, I need to go see Dead End Hip Hop, because these guys, I've been listening to them, well, for years now, and yeah, they've always bringing just interesting takes, or just a lot of energy and fun. So I thought, you know what, let's go hit them up and let's do a little bit of a round table about three album runs to cap the series off. So yes, coming up, we're going to be talking to Mike, Rod, Ken and BZ, and yeah, we're going to really dive in to their thoughts on favorite hip hop album runs. Let's dive in. Boom. Man, I'm just out here, fan of your work. I'm like ready to talk about three album runs. So I was like, who do I want to hear talking about these runs? And there were certain people and then there was you guys. I was like, how can we conclude it? Man, Dead End Hip Hop. I love the way you guys chat about hip hop. How are you guys doing with this whole notion of three album runs that I proposed to you guys?
I have like a large list. I have a big list. It's a lot of people. I got a list with mainstream, underground. Like I was coming up with a long list of people who I felt that had good three album runs.
Right. Look, I didn't do the homework. I did the shit for next week. Right.
I was looking forward to this. This was fun.
You know what? When Mike first told us what we part of the thing we were going to be talking about, I was like, damn, I really couldn't think of many people just off the top of my head. Yeah, like album run, bro.
Yeah,
like that. But again, like that. You know, I was like, I could think of artists right in the 90s, right? Because technically that's like golden age or whatever. But a three album run, though, is what I was just like, hold
There's
on.
There's so many.
Right. So when I started looking, I was like, oh shit, this is actually going to be a little complicated than I thought. So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to see what you guys have too. So yeah, like that's the thing too, man. When we do these, we don't even discuss what we find out. We just come in and just talk about it. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, man. Well, that's the best way. That's the best way. The energy, man. Was there any that hit you straight away?
Outside of the 90s, or are we sticking with 90s right now?
Let's go with 90s for now, and then outside of the 90s, yeah.
I can go with the first one that really came to my mind before even doing any type of research, and that was Ice Cube.
God damn it.
That's just saying.
That's on my list.
But I
don't care about your list.
Yeah. Everybody on your list.
I know. You got everybody on your fucking list.
Right. I probably got a lot of B's too, but man, yeah, and I'll let everybody else go with that one. But that was the very first one I thought of, just you know, off top. Mm-hmm. You know, that I was like, yo, that's the one. Can we talk about that pretty often here, about that Ice Cube run?
I want to know who the fuck had a better run in the 90s than Cube.
Oh, word?
Like Tribe, maybe?
But nah.
Okay. All right.
Pac? Yes. So I was going to go with Pac. All
right. That's fair.
And the thing about...
Which three albums?
Right. So, okay. See, be on it. Be on it.
Be
on it. Be on it. So let me... This one I'm going to fuck you up, B. This one
I'm going to
fuck
you up. No, I'm asking. I'm genuinely asking. I'm genuinely asking.
Wait, because... hold on a second. So... Pac is real interesting because I can go either way with this, right? So I can start like 93, 95, 96. Like, because you got Strictly for My Niggas in 93, Me Against the World in 1995, and All Eyes on Me in 96. I can go that way, but the way I prefer to go is starting with Me Against the World, Eyes on Me, and Columinale. Yeah, Machiavelli. Mm-hmm. That's the way I would go. But I think you could go either way with that. So that's what I thought was real interesting about Pac's discography or whatever. You can start early and go, or you can start a little later and go for the three album run. You start 93.
Yeah, me. That's how I had mine. Yeah. So I had mine like that. Strictly for My Niggas, Me Against the World, and All Eyes on Me.
See, I would rather go All Eyes on Me. Me Against the World, All Eyes on Me, and Machiavelli. Because Machiavelli is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Pac album. So I would go that way.
You can.
I thought that was super dope. I thought that was super dope.
Rod, I'm with you, man. Rod, that's me, bro. that's my run. I love Strictly for My Ends, but man, that three, the Don Columinati, man. The fact that he made that and it wasn't even like, he approached the producers who weren't even like the main producers. That's sick, man.
I was trying to tell you, man. I listened to a lot of Pac in the 90s. I listened to a lot of Pac in the 90s, man. Like, he was literally my favorite rapper until Jay came around. Yeah, I listened to a lot of Pac, man. So I would be remiss if I didn't put Pac as my choice. Even though I love that Cube run, I still put Pac a little over it.
Okay. Anybody else got any to go against that? I mean, Pac's one is unreal, but yeah.
Oh, I thought you was about to go.
You've been dying to look at your fucking.
No, no, no. I got so many, man.
I know. So who is your pick?
Who's standout? Like, who
did you? Yeah, I didn't see. I didn't understand. I didn't know if we had to have like a pick.
What was your favorite one? Especially since you got a lot of them. He ain't do that part.
Yeah.
See, he did his homework, but he ain't do all of it. B was one of them half-ass homework dudes. So my favorite.
So, I would say my favorite. If I'm picking one, I would say The Roots. Do You Want More? Illadelphia Half Life and Things Fall Apart.
Oh,
yeah.
You said yeah, like easy.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. All right. Yeah. Damn. I mean, because I play these albums more than Pac albums. So okay. Yeah.
All right. I'll put my Pac on the table against that.
Do you think you can listen to that Roots run like in any situation though? Like with Pac, I think that run is like so highly energetic. All Eyes on Me, you can play that at any party. Whereas Roots, I have to be in a bit of a mindset for Roots, but I'm a mate. That's wicked that you've dropped that three because we haven't tackled that on the series and I want to at some point. So B, come on, man, we'll talk about that. Come on. Come on and we'll talk about that. But yeah, I mean, what was it about that run then that put it above Pac for you? Was it just the fact that you rinsed it more?
Man, The Roots was just, that was a group that, it was like, the Roots was one of those groups I was attached on since the very beginning. So to see them, see their progression throughout their entire careers, and then that particular album, I know where I was at. I remember what I was doing when those three albums that came out, and the fact that Black Thought and Malik B was just ripping, fucking the fucking mic up, tearing that shit up, and then you had live instrumentation in that shit too on top of that. So yeah, I think you just, that shit was unheard of at the time, man. I love that, those three albums, man. Illadelphia Half Life is easily one of my favorite, maybe top three favorite albums of the 90s decade. So
damn. Yeah.
And then Black Thought is one of his favorite.
And Black Thought is like my it's my favorite MC. So it's just like,
it's all there.
Yeah.
They showed a lot of growth in that run as well. Cause I think it went from, what was that, 94, 95 to like end of the decade, right? It's like 99, late 99 or whatever that Things Fall Apart came out. So that's I don't know.
Things Fall Apart came out in 99. It came out in 99.
Right. Yep. So I remember that they were completely different by the time that came out to when I'd first heard them. I was like, wow, these guys were an actual like band, you know? That was crazy.
And it's crazy because Things Fall Apart was kind of like the album that kind of took them a little bit mainstream. Like that's when they started getting a little bit more mainstream recognition with Things Fall Apart. But I mean, it still had that underground appeal though. But yeah, they started taking off a little bit more after Things Fall Apart. Because then they got the Def Jam deal. They had signed with Def Jam after they left off of Griffin Records.
So. Yeah. Imagine if Big Pun was on that album. I heard he was supposed to be on that album. Imagine that. Yeah. Just been sick.
What years were those?
Of the Roots? Things Fall Apart was 95. Mm-hmm. Illadelphia Half-Life was 96. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was 96 and Things Fall Apart was 99.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't big on the Roots around that time.
Sweet. Mike, have you got one or Ken?
Mine was originally Q, but then I thought about it and I was like, I like those albums. I love those albums, but I don't know that I listened to them as much as I listened. If we're talking about 90s, I probably listened to the Gangstar run more.
Mm.
So if we're talking Gangstar, I'm going Daily Operation, Hard to Earn, Moment of Truth.
Wow.
I listened to those more just because like my family's from Boston.
Mm.
So I kind of got shoved those albums. Like you couldn't be hanging out with the cousins unless you had Guru Plan.
Mm.
I liked Pac, but I think I just listened to that run more if we're talking about 90s.
What years were those? 92, 90,
hold on. 92, 93, and 98.
94. Hard to Earn is 94. Yeah.
Discog says 93.
Oh, 94. Right. It was right before Illmatic came out.
I think I believe beat more than just Discog. No,
it was 94.
You know why it says 93?
Why?
Because there was a promo that came out in 93.
But you know, they used to promo albums long as hell back then. Anyway. The album came out in
94. Yeah, I don't know why you challenged me.
Moment of Truth is 98.
Yeah.
Damn.
Is there a reason you didn't go Step in the Arena? You prefer Moment of Truth more than Step in the Arena?
Yeah, I think I listen to Moment of Truth more than Step in the Arena. I don't really listen to Step in the Arena at all. I'm very, I know it's a good album. It is.
Mm.
But I'm just not, I'm rarely in the mood for that old of hip hop. Because that album sounds old. It really does. It sounds old. I don't care. It does. It sounds old. I mean, Primo wasn't really up to his Primo
into Daily Operation.
Yeah, exactly.
Daily Operation.
That's
came
when
out.
It really started.
Man,
those cuts and all that shit. That's when it really started. So yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm feeling that. I'm glad you said Gangstar. I've been, out of all these runs, we've talked about all of them, right? And you know, you start reappreciating stuff. The Gangstar run is just, I've completely reappreciated how incredible.
It really is. Slept on one, yeah. Yep.
Mm, definitely, really, man. Ken, have you got anything there, bro?
I do.
Master P.
He about to say something.
Master P.
Master P.
Yeah, he was in the 90s.
He
had a good hood run though.
I did look at Master P.
Go ahead and say.
I'm gonna represent the South, man.
No.
Ball and G.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The first three albums. Absolutely.
Coming out hard. On top of the world. And shut up. Hold on.
I got you, bro. I got you.
No, you don't got
it. I know the second.
Hold on. I'll let you.
Cross the Bricks on it. And Break a Bitch College on it.
You at the front of the class about to
come on, man. You missing the best one.
I know it's the second album. It's the second one.
Come on, kid. It's your pick, bro. No,
you almost said I'm coming. That would have been real. Say, come on, Ken. And Ken almost said I'm coming.
No, I did. On the outside looking
in.
I was waiting. I'm like, come on.
That was a good run, bro. Yeah. I definitely had that one on my list.
Three of those albums.
Yeah. Coming Out Hard was 93. On the Outside Looking In was 94. Yep. Top of the World, 95.
Yep.
Bro, that was a good ass run, bro.
Top of the World, Diamonds and Pearls, all that I can
see. Yeah, man.
That's wicked. Yeah. Do you still play them albums? Do you still bump them albums like today?
Not as much as I would like, because I'm always kind of like listening to new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if out of the three, the second one the second one is the one that I would play the most. But man, like the first two are certified classics.
Certified, bro.
Like, you know.
And the third one has a classic song, man, like classic does. Song.
Yeah, dude.
They say it's pimping, man. Yep. Everybody knows that.
Step outside.
Because my ride is awaiting. Yes, bro.
Okay, yes. I'm liking that. Can you hear that sound today? That's one thing about that run. I'm wondering if that sound's still around today or is it very much of its time? What do you reckon?
That's Outkast.
The flow, definitely, man. Flow, man. Like, they had some really good flows that I can hear today.
Mm.
Even some of the beats, I think. Even some of the beats could be today. So
I always thought Big Boy sounded like he could have come straight out of that class.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not Dre.
Yeah.
But I always thought, especially like once they stopped rapping really fast.
Yeah.
I always thought Big Boy's flow was closer to that.
To that type of style. Yeah.
Yeah. I think MJG definitely could still rap today.
Oh, wicked.
They both good, actually. I don't have to think about it.
In that same vein, though, man, I even had UGK on here, too. They had a pretty good run with...
Super Tight.
Yeah.
Too
Hard to Swallow.
Too Hard to Swallow.
Too Hard to Swallow, Super Tight, and Riding Dirty.
Riding Dirty.
Those three are good.
Really?
Good albums. Hell yeah. Those three?
No,
I don't
know
if I would put that run up against any of the ones.
Yeah.
That's why I said that. I think they're honorable mention.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I say kind of in the same vein. They're not topping A-Ball, MJG, but I think, you know, we was going groups. I could put that up there. You know, I
got a lot of
I could play that card.
I think the one that would probably hurt it the most is Super Tight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that middle one.
But Super Tight had like Pocket Full of Stones Part 2 on it. Was Tell Me Something Good on that? No,
that was on the first one.
But yeah, it was some good joints on that Super Tight.
Mm,
What year was Super Tight?
Super Tight was 94.
94, yeah.
Yeah, Too Hard to Swallow was 92. Super Tight was 94. And Riding Dirty was 96. I played the hell out of Riding Dirty.
Damn, Riding Dirty was 96. It doesn't feel like it was 96.
It don't.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So which one had Pregnant Pussy on?
Remember that? You remember that song? You heard this? You know that song? I didn't know
I remember that song.
I didn't know you were listening.
Pregnant Pussy is the best. Fucking the girl while the baby sucking.
Yo. I didn't know you was listening to UGK
I wasn't. I wasn't that listening is hilarious, to UGK though. Like that. But somebody played that song while we were skating one day. And I was like, what is this? This is the best song I've ever heard in my entire life.
That's crazy.
That fool said, I got the fat pregnant pussy on the water, bitch.
That might be
and too, I'm not the bus of that.
That might be too hard to swallow.
I can't see it on Too Hard to Swallow's track list.
That that might have been later on. That might have been
later on. Later
on.
On the second year, the song I Left It Wet For You.
Oh yes,
I left it.
All right, so
those dudes were just.
They really were. Like, Tell Me Something Good. Y'all heard the explicit version?
Man,
oh, my
man.
God,
yeah.
Oh,
the thing is, like, I don't think people now, because they just know Bun B is just like a legend.
Yeah,
think,
right.
I think half the people that say Bun B's a legend have never really
lived. Never heard of him.
They would look at him different. Yeah, they would be like, you're the guy that was talking about leaving his spots on people's bed sheets?
Right.
That was you? This big, sweet, lovable, giant guy.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. That's quite cool, though. Go on, Rod. You got something.
No, just real quick. I was saying that Super Tight had pocket full of stones, too.
And front, back, side to side.
Yeah, dog. Never let whole ass nigga ride.
Fairs in town.
Yeah, fairs in town. That's what I'm saying, man.
Was 316s on that?
316s was the last song on that. Yep. Pussy got me dizzy.
I'm telling you, man.
Three albums, man. Those are good albums. Too Hard to Swallow, Super Tight, and Ryan Dirty.
That front back side to side was hard.
That was
everywhere,
right, man.
That shit. Dang.
Yeah, bro.
Yo, yo, yo. Just interrupting this episode to give you a quick update on our plans for 2021. But before I do, just remember to subscribe on YouTube and like this video. Also, get involved in the comments. We always have some dope takes on there. So shout out to people that are getting involved. We love reading them. And hopefully some more of you guys can get on there and we'll shout you out on the episodes coming up. Now, on to 2021. We here at Crate 808 are setting up a Patreon where for the price of a pint or a coffee every month, we'll be bringing you even more dope hip-hop episodes. Simply go to crate808.com, subscribe to the newsletter, you'll get all the updates on our plans. But as a taster, each month we're thinking of bringing you 90s rap hidden gem album reviews that you can vote for. So if you enjoy people like Master Ace, Diamond D, The Lynch Mob, Paris, Big Noid, Blase Blase, we'll be doing a lot more of those. We're going to do our Why I Love series, the MF Doom and J Dilla editions. Each month we'll bring on a guest and dig into why they love a certain Doom or JD track and then test that love. How deep is that love? Next up, Wu-Tang Chronicles, Ghostface Killer Edition. We're aiming here, I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but we're aiming to go through every solo Wu project, and we're going to start with Ghostface's catalogue. So we're going to go in, we're going to talk about the music, we're going to talk about the fashion sense, and just some of the amazing bars he's dropped in that career. And the Griselda Marathon, I want to do it. If we get enough patrons, we're going to do it. We're going to go through every single Griselda project, and really, let's dive in, yeah? So get involved. Hit up crate808.com, subscribe to the newsletter, as well as the YouTube and the podcast. Now, back to the episode. But I'm loving these because people have come on and they haven't really given these ones. These are a little bit more under, what's the word? Maybe hidden gem runs, if you know what I mean. Because mm-hmm. I think everyone's gone Tribe, and there's, I don't know what you guys think to Redman's run or Mob's run.
Yep, I got that on here.
Of course you do, man. I mean, if there's any that you think out of those that deserve a bit more shine, I'm here to hear it, like underrated ones, because you've already gone UGK, which I feel like needs more shine. Are there any other runs that you think like are a little bit underrated? Redman's a good example of that, I feel.
Well, I have a couple more like B. I can go through a couple more.
I think just kind of going back real quick to the Master P joint, because he had Ice Cream Man, Ghetto D, and then the one before that
last,
I think was
the Last Done. I think it was Last Done.
Mm, that's the only. I don't think the Last Done was. I think the first one, 99 Ways to Die. I think.
See that's real underground though. Like,
it is. But you know, he looked for the hidden gems. Like, I think the strength of that would be Ice Cream Man and Ghetto D. Like those two albums right there, like just completely, like damn near changed. Well, Master P in general, just as a businessman, but them just taking something that was so freaking hood and becoming mainstream without being able to freaking rap all that well, you know, is something that, you know, most people don't talk about.
Why do you think
people disrespect? That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's a good question. I think people just respected his realness, man. Like when he was on tracks, it just felt so real, and it was so relatable to like Dope Boys. You know, I grew up in an area where, you know, flooded with Dope Boys, and like that was one of the things that they always respected about Master P. He spoke for the streets. Even though he couldn't like rap like that, he was just talking to him. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, even today, that's what I respect about a lot of rappers, when they just kind of like Kai is one of my favorite MCs. Like, obviously he raps way better than Master P, but I feel like Kai talks to you. You know what I'm saying? He raps slow, his beats are, it's no drums. It's like, he really wants you to hear the words.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how Master P was. Yep. And then like the difference with Master P is that he had the drums, he had the bass and all that. Mm-hmm. So people had that. Like Break You Off Something, man, was like a hood anthem. Mm-hmm. Like Never Ending Game was a hood anthem. Like all of that stuff, man.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, yeah. About it.
Oh my god.
Yo, my cousins, man, they ran the streets. They used to do all that shit, dealing with everything. Some of them motherfuckers still locked up. And I was just over at my grandmother's house, just chilling, whatever. And they were outside, radio blasting, and Master P was playing. And I was a little snobby back then about my hip hop. I was like, man, listen to that whack ass shit. but then he was, you know, it was one of the lyrics. He was like, Michael Jordan is no fucking hero.
Hero to me,
yeah. And for whatever reason, it just clicked. I was like, oh shit! Now I kind of get it. It's not about how well you can rap. Mm-hmm. It's about the realness. The writer's 100% right. It's about the realness of what they were saying. Mm-hmm. They were speaking to guys that kind of lived that life. Like Tribe wasn't really necessarily speaking to them like that, or you know, so they were. And then they had the beats that went along with it. So you can ride around, listen to that shit, and it would sound good. You know, people like the type of music.
He knew what the streets wanted, man. Mm. He really knew what the streets wanted. Ice Cream Man, like the album was called Ice Cream Man. And like just on somebody on the surface level wouldn't know what that is, but you know what that is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he was really clever with it, man.
So what about sweets?
One about 31 flavors, I'll tell you that.
Definitely wasn't.
Another one that y'all. Now, I want to see which way y'all go with this one.
All right, cool.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's mentioned Mobb Deep yet.
Okay,
B, I'm not talking about you because I got every fucking rapper on your list.
No, it's not. No, you're not. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Now, would you go Juvenile Hell, the infamous Hell on Earth, or would you go
Infamous Hell on Earth and Murder Music.
Okay.
All day, every day.
But I can see somebody arguing Juvenile Hell, but I don't listen to that album. I don't ever listen to that album.
Mm. Yeah.
It sounds a bit dated.
Not Mobb Deep. Yeah. You know?
They were still raw. And they was like super raw. They wasn't polished yet. Yeah. They wasn't really polished yet. Infamous, they were polished.
Infamous, Hell on Earth, they were polished.
Hell on Earth.
I've heard people kind of not shit on Murder Music, but just not prop it up like that.
Are you serious?
Why? I don't know.
Oh, you said
I'm not me.
Okay, okay.
I love that album.
Man.
Saying, I've seen people on Twitter.
Wasn't there a little bit more mainstream around the time? Though?
Maybe that's why they're complaining. But they were still like
gutter is fuck.
About
yeah.
Kill you shit. So yeah. Anytime you got a dude that's 4 feet tall, you know, right. Killing a motherfucker.
Right.
But doing it nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's not like when Bushwick Bill was talking about killing people. It was like, all right, bro.
Yeah.
Like I believe you can do it, but I'm just not really worried about it today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For some reason, man, when fucking Prodigy did it, it was like, I believe you did. And I believe that you might really fly here and kill.
Right. Right.
Yeah, man. Pac ruined a Mobb Deep for me. I didn't really listen to Mobb Deep in the 90s. Yeah, man. Pac just had me not listening to the East Coast for a minute, man.
Really?
Because I was such a big Pac fan. Yeah, he influenced me a lot, man. So I didn't get onto the Mobb Deep train until later. And boy, did I miss out. Yeah, man.
Rod, I'm kind of with you, man. Because when I was hearing Pac, I was the same. He was like a gateway drug. He was like, he had so much about him. He was bigger than music. Like, you know, over here, man, he's on news for other things. It ain't about his music. It took Hell on Earth. I remember listening to Hell on Earth and hearing Drop a Gem on him. And I think they dropped that after he passed away. And I was like, fuck these guys, man. Like they don't care.
Right.
They dropped this and he's dead. Like he ain't going to retaliate to this. And you know, it's really sad, but also like these guys didn't care. And that whole album, Hell on Earth for me is my favorite Mobb album. I love that album.
I remember like seeing them live was such a weird thing. Cause I didn't know that Prodigy was so little. But it was almost like he didn't know he was little.
Yeah.
Like when they would come out on the stage, it didn't like. Did you go to that show?
It was a Tabernacle. Me and you went.
Yeah, it was Tabernacle. Me and you. It was me. Yep. You thought he was little? Say again. You thought he was little? What do you mean? But God thought he was little. What do you mean? God thought he was little. God created him little.
I thought he was swole, man.
No. I don't mean big. Like, he was short. Like high.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, no, yeah. Short. He was like 5'1".
Yeah, he's short. Both of them. I mean. Him and Havoc is short. Him and Havoc is short.
I didn't see him as being little.
Because he was on the stage. I was there too. So I filmed it.
No, you're talking about A3C.
Oh, what y'all talking
no,
about?
No, we went to, they had we a separate show. It was Ghost and Ray and Mobb Deep. I remember we went to that shit.
Ghost, Ray, and Mobb Deep.
What'd you say?
He just said it's the lineup was Ghost, Ray, and Mobb Deep. How did you guys survive? How are you survived that?
I don't know why these guys didn't go. That show was crazy. What was that? That was
like 2015, 2014, or something like that.
Did y'all go together?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was out of town and y'all went to, because I wanted to go to that, but I was out of town. I wasn't going to miss that.
Show.
That shit was dope. I saw him before he went to jail. But forget, the Cotton Club? They play here when did he go to jail?
I don't know.
Early 2000s, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it was after. No, it was later than that.
Either way, I saw him before he went to jail. He wasn't swole.
Oh, okay. See, I thought y'all was talking about A3C.
No.
A3C, he was swole.
I've seen Mobb Deep like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But yeah, like first time I saw him, I was like, that's the dude? Ain't no such thing as halfway like that's him? It's like, God damn, he's small. But the thing is, when he rapped, it didn't feel like that.
Yeah,
didn't.
Sure.
But then when we saw him, I was like, God damn! What happened to him? He's like Ram Man from here. Yeah. He came out, he was just like, call me little again and see what happens. But yeah, man, Mobb Deep was something special, man.
100%.
No, definitely.
I was going to ask you guys, really, you know when you guys put these things together and you were like, when you were actually thinking about who your picks are or who some of your favorite runs are, what are the keys to having a good run for you guys, like personally? Is it rewindability? Is it growth? Is it that sustainability can play it for like the rest of your life? Were there certain things that went through your mind when you were picking these?
That's a good question. For me, like Pac was just so influential. Like that's, we already kind of said that, right?
Mm.
I always liked his beats, even on Strictly for My Niggas. Like it was just so hype. And then he was able to like just kind of make it more mellow with not All Eyes on Me, but Me Against the World.
Mm.
Like that shed so many tears. Like it's just so infectious, the beat in that. Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Cause like I said, in the 90s, I was a teenager. So yeah, it's hard to kind of remember what it was exactly in the 90s. Cause it's been so long now, but those are the main things. Just his rapping ability, the beats and just his influence.
I think sustainability and of course nostalgia, just being connected, you know, to those albums. And them being of just top quality, like albums I feel like I can hand to the younger generation, and they may not like all of it, but they can kind of get an understanding of what the sound was like in the 90s. You know, so I think that based on, you know, all of our picks, you get something from the South, you get something from the West, you get something from the East Coast. Like you get the full gamut of what hip hop was, and you get a chance to really taste those different flavors. So that's it for me, man. Just my connection to those albums and those artists, and just remembering good and bad times.
For sure, man. What about you, B?
So for me, I think from my albums, the albums that I pick is, you know, you got to think in a time during the 90s, parents look so, you know, older. Our parents, or you know, older folks, look so down on hip hop. Whereas, like, this is around the time my dad started like appreciating hip hop. So for him, for me to list, you know, play these albums that has jazz elements in it and everything, he can appreciate that. Like, he was really appreciating that. So it was like, it was cool playing a damn Roots album loud as hell in my house and not hearing my dad saying turn that down or turn it off or whatever. Like if I was playing N.W.A. or something else, but it was cool to like play like hip hop jams and then have my dad come to my room like, hey man, play that again, like. All right, cool. That was like a phenom back then because a lot of parents wasn't messing with hip-hop, you know, when I was growing up.
Hey, what's up? This is Black Thought, and you are now rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo. This is Stretch Armstrong.
Ooh-wee! My name is Bobby DeGarcia, a.k.a. Cool Bob Love.
You're now listening to Crate 808.
Hey, yo, what up, y'all? This is Prince Paul, and you're rocking with Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo, it's Evie Evidence, Dilated Peoples. You're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast, my favorite shit. Let's go.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Master Ace from Brooklyn, New York, and you're checking out the Crate 808 Podcast, real hip-hop.
I was actually going to say then, that's interesting because you guys are talking about how this is in the past, and if we're opening it up and just talking about album runs generally then in hip hop, like from the 90s to now. One, I was going to ask if you think there's been any runs that you think are going to stand the test of time. And two, in today's world, is it easier or harder to have an album run with everything that's going on? Everyone dropping more albums or not even really considering them albums and putting them out as playlists. I don't know. Where do you guys stand on that?
To answer the question, whether it's harder or easier, I don't think it's harder because of all the music that's dropping. I think if you're staying true to who you are and you just make albums that the people that you know, that liked your music, you keep it consistent. I think for the most part, whether, you know, you have hundreds of albums dropping a year, they're still going to gravitate towards that artist. You know what I'm saying? Because it's who they like. Like I said, Kai is a perfect example for me. Rock Marciano is an example for me. It don't matter how much music comes out, it's not going to stop me from liking a Rock Marciano album. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it might be a little bit harder to have a legendary run after, say, like 2005 or something.
Okay.
Because, like, who really has a run that can go up against, like, a Pop or a Cube since then? Unless you're talking about a Kendrick or Kanye. Uh-huh. But other than that, like, who's had a legendary run that you feel like is going to stick 15 years from now? I mean, I have somebody.
Eminem?
But, I feel like Eminem's kind of like a cheat code. I feel like I don't even have to mention him. But, yeah, you're right.
But Eminem. That's three, though. You said Kanye, Kendrick, and Eminem. That's three people right there.
Right, but I feel like we could probably, if we were going from, like, the 80s to the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. We could probably name like a 20. Lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But but let's say if we were going from 2005 to 2020, could we really name that many? Maybe four? That have had a legendary run.
Legendary.
You know what I mean? I think it's easy to have a good run where people are like, damn, that dude just put another album out and it's still dope. Mm-hmm. But to have like a legendary run that's up there with the Pox and the Cubes and the Outcasts, I don't know. I think it's kind of hard these days.
And it feels like the fans can be somewhat fickle when it comes to like some of these artists and their albums, especially, you know, that third album in the run, if it sounds different or from what they're used to then or against the grain, then they were like, nah, that shit back, instead of letting it kind of breathe on its own.
Well, that music is so disposable now that people don't hold on to shit the way we did. An album comes out, remember, like, album will come out every 3 or 4 years. Album comes out, you fucking sit on it, you're like, man, this shit is so goddamn good. The next one comes out a couple years later, you're like, damn, this shit's good too. And if he hits you with that third one, and that third one is good, you're like, oh, this guy is certified.
He's official, right?
But nowadays, it's just like, people just expect the third album to be good. They're like, okay, it's good. It's as good as the second one, so cool. But nobody gets excited. Like, since we're opening it up past 90s, I'm going to go ahead and start it off. When this dude dropped three in a row that were just incredible, I was blown away.
All right, no, you got to go.
Who?
Doom. Who? It's got to be Doom.
Fuck you, yeah. All caps when he said it, man. When that dude had, he seriously had. It's hard to really put it together.
Yeah.
Because he was bouncing off the... He had like a 7-album.
Yeah, yes. I was about to say, it's like with Pac, you can just go.
You can go anywhere.
You can go anywhere. You can go anywhere.
Only album that you could even attempt to fix your lips and criticize is the JJ Doom one.
That's a good album.
Yeah.
I really only hear people in the United States shit on it. I didn't realize that. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but people that are in the UK seem to embrace that album more.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't really know why.
At that time, I think he was coming over to the UK as well at one point. But when you got tracks called Governor and like stuff like that, that's a very English thing. But also, it is that kind of experimental. It's a little bit different, but he always did that, right?
Yeah.
I remember what you're saying there, because I remember people weren't even talking about him after that run. And then that came out. And then was like, oh, no, this guy still actually is the king. Like, he is still going to kill everyone just with that. But yeah, I'm with you there. I think I'm with Doom. I'm absolutely with Doom on that. But yeah, if there's any other runs, I want to hear the Black Milk run, because I know B's a fan. I love Black Milk's run from Sound the Alarm to maybe Tronic. I don't know. But that run for me, personally, that was the albums that I was constantly rinsing those.
Mm-hmm. Is he on your little list?
Yeah, he's on my list too. Of course he is. he's on my list.
You got everybody. I bet MGK's on your
list. Who else you got on that list?
Yeah.
On your fucking list.
No.
Well,
Jeezy.
the person I have for this decade or whatever, I got Kai with The Knight's Gambit, Honor Killed the Samurai, and The Sentence of Kain. Like, I think that's it. And then not to mention the other album he had, Orpheus and
Orpheus. Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. But that's that. You can throw that in between there. So it's just like, yeah, Kai has had an amazing run. These last 10 years, it's crazy.
Car or Rock's run, if you were going to pick what, I'm sorry to do this, but if you were going to pick one of those as your favorites, I'm with Car, I'm with you guys on Car, But Rock's run from Jesus. You could do that with Rock, though, right? Like you could, Rock Marcy, yeah, you could really do that.
You can. Well, for me, yeah, I can go either way too. I can go from Rosebud's Revenge to the joint he did with Muggs, Chaos, Behold a Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Or either Marsburg, Reloaded.
But whose run is better? I think that's the question.
Oh, that's right. Damn.
He's trying to cheat his way out of answering.
Even though I love COD these days, I still would go Rock.
I think I might have to.
Because I'll go Marsburg, Reloaded. And what was after Reloaded? He has some mixtapes in there somewhere.
Mercy Buku. Yeah, mixtape. Rosebud Revenge was the next album. Rosebud Revenge.
So yeah, so if we just going strictly albums, I would go Marsburg, Reloaded, Rosebud Revenge.
Yeah.
But like I listen to Pimp Power Strikes Back and I listen to Marsburg and all Mercy Buku and all that. So yeah, Rock. I'll have to go Rock.
You had to go with Rock too. It hurts.
But there you go, right? Like Mike, you were saying there from 2005 to 2020, we've named, obviously there's Kendrick, we've put that in there, but like Rock, Carr, Run the Jewels have had a run.
Yeah. I don't know that I would put, even though I love Carr and I really like Rock, I don't know that I would put them in that legendary run category.
Mm.
Like if I was making a list of the top 20 legendary runs in hip hop, I don't know that Ka and Rock would make it. And that's no disrespect to either one of them. I just don't know that I would put them on there.
Interesting.
What about Royce 5'9"? Layers, Book of Ryan, and Allegory.
That's not legendary. Legendary? Like, so you put that up legendary against Pox? No.
That's a solid run, though. It's a solid run.
It is.
Yeah.
It's an incredible run, especially for an MC that late in his career.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's super impressive for him, especially for an MC that used to rap about different shit. Like those three albums, that's a different Royce.
Yeah.
For that to be a different really Royce is, and have that run, that's really incredible.
Okay, so, I'm going to throw a mainstream one out there. I'm sorry.
Okay. I know. Yeah, B, let somebody else talk.
What about Jeezy? TM101.
Go back to B's list.
I was going to throw a
Jeezy good. I don't know if it could stand like what he's saying though. Mm. See, he put a variable in there that fucks everything.
Yeah, I know, right?
I thought it was the best run. No,
well, it is. I mean, but we talking about today because it's hard to go against the golden age. You know what I'm saying? So, but there are like artists out here. Like Jeezy had a solid run.
That's a run, bro.
Yeah,
That's solid. A run. My President is Black. off the recession alone.
Yeah.
And then
that second one though was kind of the TM102. That was.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't whack, but it was
bangers on it.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Okay, it wasn't like TM101 in recession.
Went up. You talking about? And then you're like, man.
Yeah,
that's not legendary. That's not the sign of an incredible run.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a good run.
Okay, it's a good run. I mean, there's a lot of rappers had a good run. Right, I mean, shit, good. I would, even if we were having this discussion, I wouldn't even throw L in there. But if we're talking about good runs, shit. I think he had a fucking incredible run from Fantastic Damage to I'll Sleep When You're Dead to Cancer for Cure.
Mm.
And like if we're talking about for underground indie rap, I don't think many people were touching that 3-album run. They really weren't, because he was really changing the way people were thinking about producing albums back then.
Yeah.
Now, I would put nothing against Jeezy, but I would put that run over Jeezy's.
I was going to say, that's interesting you're saying that, because that's more about the impact you're having on the music there and then, right? A lot of these runs in the 90s did that. I don't know if, Rock Marcy definitely does, but I'm not sure if Carr does something. It's actually, he doesn't care. He's not doing it for anyone else. He's doing it for himself. Yeah. It's almost like it doesn't matter about changing anything. He just lives in his own universe, right? Whereas L, I think you're right there. That definitely changed a lot of Sonics, what I was listening to anyway. But yeah, it's interesting, man. Sorry, Rod, you were going to say, man.
Like, if you think about like just the Ron style period.
Hmm.
He birthed a lot of people off of Fantastic Damage. Like a lot of dudes started doing that whole shit where you don't have to worry about your rhymes actually rhyming all the time.
Yeah.
Like a lot of dudes. Like you can just put on fucking Deep Space 9mm and you can fucking trace like 30 different careers that came from that song.
Yeah.
Easy if you're talking about indie rap. So yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody touching L back then.
No, I was just going to say real quick, like just kind of going back to the 90s real quick, we would be remiss if we didn't mention Outkast, because we didn't mention Outkast.
That's not 90s.
That is 90s.
It is, yeah.
So Southern Playlist,
their main
Southern playlist that count that music, 94, AT Aliens, 96, Aquemini, 1998.
Okay, because they were on my list.
Yeah,
but for I thought they were out of the 90s.
I know, right?
I thought he mentioned it. I thought we mentioned Outkast. Wow. Yeah.
They were mentioned.
Yeah, they were right under Doom for me, but I thought they were, I don't know why I thought they were not.
So 90s. That's a good run.
And Stankonia, obviously, is that 2000, isn't it? So you could go for it.
Yeah, but no, you're right. Now that I got my dates right,
Outkast, legendary.
Definitely, I would put over a lot of people we've named so far. Mm. I would put them over Guru, probably.
Okay.
I think their run is more legendary than Guru.
Yes, yes.
Mm. Or Gangstars.
Nah, for sure. For sure.
Why did I think they weren't 90s?
Because that's interesting, because where we are, I don't remember hearing that before, but where you guys are, very different. Yeah. When you'd heard Southern Playlistic and AT Aliens, was there anyone even slightly in that realm for you guys when you were listening?
It was different. It absolutely was different. I didn't move here to 99, to Atlanta in 99. I'm originally from Florida. So yeah, like when Outkast came out, it was only like a few people that I knew that was listening to it like that. Because that was like Southern Playlist of Cadillac music. Even though that was like real South sounding, it still wasn't many people. It was kind of very regional, like Atlanta. And it kind of spilled over into Florida a little bit. But yeah, when they started doing AT Aliens and all that stuff, yeah, that definitely was different from anything I had heard people doing. Personally,
I still wish I wasn't such a dick back then, because I didn't give a fuck about Outkast.
Yeah,
when they were like in their prime, I didn't get into Outkast till way later.
Yeah,
so I can't really speak too much about was there people.
Why was that, Mike? Out of interest, why was it about? What was it about?
Snob. I mean, I'm a snob now, but I mean, I was a worse snob. I was like, this is stupid. This is like fucking hillbilly rap. I don't want to hear this shit.
Yeah,
like give me fucking Souls of Mischief and Casual and Dell. And Razzcast. I don't give a fuck about none of this other shit.
Yeah.
And then years later, I had to realize how much of a fucking dumbass I was.
It was a harmonica, right? In the Rosa Parks video. Is that what really did you in? It was like, what the fuck?
Say one more time.
Was it the harmonica in the Rosa Parks video? Because I remember that time I was like, what? They can use harmonicas in hip hop. It's crazy. It's amazing.
That is hilarious.
I think I just had being from California, I just had a thing against the South in general.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it was just anything that was Southern, anything, I was like, this is stupid.
California was like that to Southerners? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I did not realize
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I thought,
we did not fuck with the South. I was from Sacramento. The only thing we knew about the South was it was hot and the Klan was here. That was it. Yo, I did not want to come here. So when I got here, there was all this like, people were talking. I didn't understand what the fuck they were saying. That was the other issue.
That's wild.
I didn't understand what anybody was saying when they rapped.
That's funny. Because the South messed with the West Coast, don't they?
Bro, we messed with the West.
So that's hard. That's interesting hearing Mike say
it. You sure that was everywhere?
I'm surprised you guys didn't know that.
Bro, we love this West. Like,
y'all
looking from,
because we were better rappers.
No, I'm looking from Detroit. Yeah, I always thought that Southern and West Coast was like,
I did not know that. That's news to me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong here. If I'm wrong, I'll admit to being wrong, but I don't remember anyone from my region being like, oh yeah, you hear these Southern rappers? Mm-hmm. Like, no, because remember back then, everyone had a stigma for the Southern rappers saying it was all trash because y'all couldn't rap. That was a common thing.
But I didn't know the West was saying that too.
I know the East Coast.
New York was saying that a lot. I remember that. But I don't ever remember that because West Coast dudes mess with Southern dudes. Like I remember Tupac, not Tupac, but Master P used to stay. Like he lived on the West Coast for a while.
Did anybody rap with
him? And they mess with him heavy.
Yeah. Did anybody rap on albums with him?
Yeah. You know some of the dudes that came out the West.
Nope.
Like real underground cats. Because it was on a documentary. It was West Coast guys.
He
sold music on the West Coast.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. But I think there was still...
Like was Mac Dre from the West?
Mac Dre was from California, I thought.
Yeah, Mac Dre. So he messed with Mac Dre.
Ice Cube wasn't rapping with no damn Master P.
Oh, I heard...
Yeah, I'm about to say. Y'all stop it.
Yeah.
He did on the Players Club soundtrack, bro.
That don't count. Me and my friends, there was nothing. We didn't even know that Southern people rapped.
Nice.
We thought all y'all did was sit and listen to like banjo music.
Banjo. But you know, you knew about Luke and all that, didn't you?
I didn't know about Luke.
Yeah, what about
that
three album run? Two Live Crew.
Get out of here.
Two Live Crew.
You know what's funny? For the longest time, I thought Two Live Crew was from California.
They look like they were, but it's Miami, so it looks like California.
That does make sense.
Yeah,
that does make sense now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, until I came here, I did not know that Two Live Crew was from Florida. I thought Two Live Crew was in the same group as Kilo.
That is
funny. And I thought all of them were from California.
Wow.
Kilo's from here, though, right?
Yeah.
I thought he was from California, bro. Yeah. That cocaine song was really popular when I was in like fifth grade, sixth grade, something like that.
That's hilarious.
Oh, I thought Kilo was California.
Hey guys, this is Jerobi from A Tribe Called Quest. You're listening to the Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo, yo, what's up, man? It's your man El Zai, and you're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast. You know what I'm saying? Where you can check out, you know, artists like me.
Hey, it's Steve Rifkin from Loud Records. You're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast. Spread the word. These guys are dope. The questions they ask and the interview is amazing. Enjoy yourself, be safe, and be healthy.
1212, you know what it is. It's your man SKYZOO Sky Zoo, live out the borough. And this is the Crate 808 Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review, and most importantly, share that love and put your peoples on.
Peace and light. This is Cy Rock, rocking with Crate 808 Podcast. And you want to check out everything hip hop on crate808.com.
Yo, this is Juggernaut, Nottingham City, NG area. You're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast. Make sure you keep it locked in. There's so many gems drop. Crate808.com.
Hey, yo, this is the one and only R.A., the Rugged Man. And I'm rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast with my man Cam. Yeah.
I was going to actually talk to you guys, just about two guys we haven't mentioned, but they have incredible discographies, well, deep discographies, Nas and Jay. And I was wondering, like, if you were picking runs out of those guys, where are they? And
they never did. As much as I love both of them, they always had like a good two albums, and then that third one always be a. Then they have another like a good two album, and then it'd be like a.
That's like, the only reason.
Yep, that's why I didn't.
Jay's like one of my favorite. Is my favorite rapper, but I could not.
Yep. I was looking through their discographies. I was really
almost going to put them as mine, but I was like, I just can't do Hard Not Life.
Yep.
I can't do Hard Not Life because I was going to do Reasonable Doubt in Lifetime and Volume 2. And I'm like, man, I really didn't listen to Volume 2 like that. Mm. And I know people that really didn't mess with Volume 2 like that.
So even though it commercially,
that's where he got his, start.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So technically it could go with that 90s, it could be in that 90s group. I think Jay can. I don't know about Nas, but I think Jay absolutely can go in there.
The only Nas I would put either Stillmatic, Lost Tapes, and Godson, but no.
You guys don't feel I Am at all then? Is there like just no...
I think I Am is a solid album. I think people shit on it because Jay told them to shit on it. When Jay when Jay said two of them shits was due... You know, like I Am was really good. The joint he had with Scarface, Favor for a Favor.
Yeah, I love that track.
Yeah, some solid joints in New York State of Mind Part 2. Like
that run, if you went Illmatic, it was written I Am. Doesn't the first two kind of carry the third? Like,
I keep in mind this one that shitted on TM-102.
I know.
When I said they had hits on it, now you're talking about I Am.
I Am was better than 102.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. That's not a run that I put up against anything.
Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't put Nas and Jay, because every time I was looking, I'm like, okay, the two. Jay. I'm like, where that third one?
But the more I think about it, Jay's could work. 96, 97, 98. Reasonable Doubt, In My Lifetime, Volume 2. Because of the commercial success, I think that could go into the pot.
But then it goes Blueprint.
I'd put that over Nas.
Yeah. What did you say?
I was just going to say, then it goes Blueprint. I think the thing with Jay that he's really good at, he can recover from a flop.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That's absolutely a skill. Yeah. Some people can't do that. I feel that with him. It's like, wow.
Because after Blueprint 2, he dropped the Black Album.
Well, come on, man.
It's like, damn, bro. Like, damn.
That's a recovery. So,
yeah, that's a recovery for your ass right there.
Right there, definitely.
What about this run in the 2000s? I know people will probably say, I mean, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but Lil Wayne's run, Carter 1 through 3.
Ooh.
I know people always be...
I know people who would agree with you.
Carter 2 and 3, I could see. People love the hell out of Carter 2, right? That's the one that had Go DJ on it?
No, that's the first one. Carter 1 had Go DJ. A lot of people love Carter 2 and 3. I'm just saying. Yeah, people love those Carters.
First three Carters away.
Yeah, a lot of people love. And then in between that, he had those mixtapes. He had that mixtape run.
First three Carters are solid.
Loving that. I was, okay, cool. Well, that's the runs. Is there anyone that you think is capable of that now, though? Is there any artist you're hearing now where you feel like, I can see that that person's got it in the right, you know, the right things around them to maybe drop three?
You said now in today's time?
Yeah, in today's time. Could be an old artist, could be a new artist, could be an artist who's still delivering.
I think most of the guys from Griselda.
Okay.
I think they could. I think they could do it.
A legendary three-album run?
A legendary one?
I don't see it. Huh. No, and I love Griselda. I don't know.
What about Freddie Gibbs?
Oh, there we go. That's
Freddie
my run.
A good one.
Love that run.
Freddie Gibbs is a good one.
Before we move to Freddie Gibbs, let me go back to Griselda because I don't want nobody to trip out. The only reason I say that about Griselda was originally because I was like, well, a lot of their music tends to sound the same. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking they've been changing that. I could see Conway doing an incredible three-album run. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about Benny because Benny doesn't change that much. Mm-hmm. I could see Westside doing a weird three-album run.
Yeah.
That would be really impressive because he pulled it off.
Right. Mm.
But I think if I had to pull anybody out of that group that would do a three-album run that was like, oh, shit, wow, he really pulled that off.
Conway.
I think it'd be Conway.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. I agree. Yeah, I can see that.
That's a good one. Because Freddie Gibbs can rhyme over anything.
Yeah.
Like trap, boom, bap, no drum shit. He can rhyme over anything.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
His run has been serious. But then you think about Madlib and you think about Jay Dilla. Those kind of runs were also, I don't know, Madlib's is a bit different because he goes off to like India and stuff and does stuff there. So it's a bit different. But I feel like his production in the last 4 or 5 years is kind of right up there. Alchemist as well, maybe. Put that in there as well. Yep. I was just going to say, for people who haven't actually checked your stuff out, if there's any place we could check it out, if you can drop us a few details, Dead End Hip Hop, where can we find you guys?
Well, the home base is the YouTube right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's youtube.com/ Dead End Hip Hop. 252K subscribers.
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's
go. Been doing this for 10 years now. We're in our 10th anniversary as of February. So that's definitely the home base. After that, I would say like Twitter, because you can find all of us interacting on Twitter for the most part. We're at like 50K on Twitter, verified. So that's a good place to find us. Instagram. All of it's everywhere you go is Dead in Hip Hop. So whatever the social media is, / Dead in Hip Hop. You know what I'm saying? Like we got all that on lock.
Yeah, man.
But congrats. Yeah, we've been doing it for a long time.
I was going to say, congrats on 10 years, boys, by the way. That's incredible. It really is inspiring.
Appreciate it.
It's a slog. It's not easy, man, to be doing this all the time. So what is there any new stuff coming up? Because I've been watching you've dropped a few different types of like reaction videos and stuff. Is there anything different you guys are going to be dropping in the future then that we can look out for?
Ken's got an OnlyFans coming next.
couple weeks. Tune in, bro. He's just going to be sitting on the couch eating chips.
Yeah, right.
With no shirt on. Eating chips and just drinking beer.
Wow.
No, but on a serious note, man, we've been trying out this whole like review/reaction thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, track reviews, that's kind of new for us. Yeah, we got some other stuff in the works, man. I hate talking about it because every time we talk about it, it seems like it never happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, but we are working, man. We are working, and we definitely working for our Patreon supporters too, because we have a big following in there. Yeah, if y'all listening or watching this, man, follow us on Patreon, man. Support us there. That's been holding us down for these for the last 4 or 5 years. You know what I'm saying? Like the Patreon support, bro. It's crazy,
mate.
It's super crazy.
I'm right here, Patreon, right here, man. I've been on your team for a while, man. So yeah, because I like the classic reviews. The classic reviews are sick. So I mean, it's a knowledge rap podcast, so it's like just a source of like things for us. It's great. But yeah, man, I appreciate that. And all you listeners out there, man, go check these guys out, because it's just good energy. It's interesting. You guys have all got characters that like it must be weird now, right? Like you guys are all friends, and now it honestly looks like you all like. It's a bit like the Woo, this guy does this thing and this guy, it's like you've built yourselves up to this thing. It's cool. It's wicked, man. I love it. But yeah, man, thank you for your time, guys. I really appreciate it. The doors are always open. If you guys ever want to come back on and chat hip hop, we're always here, man. And anytime you come over to the UK, hit us up, man. We'll get you some fish and chips.
All right.
I want some Yorkshire pudding. That's what I want. There we go. You know what I'm saying?
That is superb. I can't believe we talked about Yorkshire puddings on the podcast. That's not happened ever. So yeah, I love that.
Oh, wait. Before you go, real quick, I need to clear something up for us.
Okay.
Don't people in the UK sometimes say mate?
All the time, mate. All the time.
I've heard you since we've been on. You say it, mate, a couple times.
Yeah.
I've been to UK. I went to UK back in 2005.
Okay.
Manchester, London. Big whatever, up. Man. Might be hating. I'm a young black boy from the hood, man. So to go to UK, man, that was an awesome experience for me.
Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah, it was good, man.
Man, you guys should do a tour thing, man. Go on tour. Just do a few talks. I'll be there, man. Definitely.
Yeah, that's you know, we would like to get to it at some point.
The UK would be a good one.
Yeah.
Heck definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Yes,
yeah, the support out there is crazy, man. Shout out to y'all, man.
Thank you, bro.
Made its own shirt, so it's got to be there.
Yeah, we made a shirt because of the UK support.
Wow.
I used the blue sign with the red joint on the shirt. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Sick. Look at that. Beautiful. Well, guys, thank you again. Keep smashing it. Keep doing your thing. And we're here for it all, man. And hopefully we catch you soon. And yeah, just keep doing it, man. Keep smashing it.
Yeah, same to you, bro.
Same to you, man. Yeah, you killing it, man. Yeah, thanks doing it.
Thanks for having us, bro.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us.
Man. I appreciate you all, man. Appreciate you all.
And blessings to you and your show, man. You know, I hope blessings on growth. Hope it, you know, you get to 10 years or whatever, man.
Man,
you know?
It's a dream right now, but I'd love that. I'd love that. Yeah. Just...
That's what's up.
But yeah, man, wicked. Ken, I'll see you on OnlyFans and then, lads.
Yo, what up, y'all? This is DJ Premier, and you're checking out the Crates 808 podcast. I put an S on it because there's more than one record in the crate, you know what I'm saying? So that's how we dig, that's how we play, and that's what real DJs do. You heard? That's why it goes down. We out ya.
So there you go, Dead End Hip Hop, bringing the flavour. Caught so much joke in there. And it was just really nice to chat to hip hop heads with a different perspective, like the chats about UGK, the chats about Master P, all that stuff that we maybe haven't addressed too much in our runs. Bang, it's here, right here. This is hip hop, man. This is how big it is. There's so many people that you can't even get through them in 9 episodes. But yes, so next up, we're going to have the Patreon's coming. So go to crate808.com, subscribe to the newsletter. We have got more dope hip hop shows coming for you. Subscribe to our YouTube, like, comment. We always like the comments. We like to read those out. We've got our mailbag on the go. Go check out the mailbag episodes. And in the description, we're asking for just email us, crate808@gmail.com for ridiculous categories that we've got now, like strangest dreams about rappers. And let's not go into them too much, but they're in the description. And yes, other than that, I should catch you on the flip side. We'll keep bringing you some more fire. And yeah, just keep doing it. Go spread the word. Tell your mum, tell your friends, tell your uncles and aunties, tell your mates you don't talk to anymore. We're out here, yeah? Peace. Boom.